Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
We ask that you breathe upon your Word this morning. Let it multiply in our hearts. As we share briefly, I ask that everyone that would hear would go back home blessed. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody say amen. Would you jam those hands together for Jesus? Please have your seats. In God's presence, amen. It says, treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are. How many of you got some weakness in the house? Let me see someone who's got weakness. Someone, anyone? Anyone who has a weakness? God is merciful. Redeemer of my past and present. He's the holder of my future. Heaven to me. Oh, he's heaven. Who is like the Lord in all the earth? There is nothing in this world that satisfies. Jesus, you're my cup that won't run dry. The cup. Okay. Who is like your Lord? Much less love and beauty. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. We'll sing it one more time. Who is like you, Lord, in all? You are matchless love.
One more time. Sing it to me. Play it.
Last week we started talking about having an encounter with God. And in this place we had the move of God. The power of God moved. The lives of people were touched. And I saw the hearts of men stirred. People's life touched in a moment. power of God fell on the hearts of people. And when God starts a journey with you, it's God's intention. Please listen to me carefully. When God starts a journey with you, it's his intention that when he starts a journey with you, he finishes it. He's called the author and the finisher. He's called the beginning and the end. He will not start what he didn't intend to finish. So if you are in this multitude this morning and you're hearing me and God has started a walk with you, it's because he intends to finish it. If he starts a move in your heart, it's because he intends to finish it. If God begins to speak to you at the early stage in your life, it's because he wanted to speak with you to the day that you breathe your last. God never abandons a project. When God begins to walk with a man, it's because he intends to walk with that man for the rest of his life. When God begins to steer your heart or speak to your life as a young man, as a young woman, it's because when you go old and you are 100 years old, the Ancient of Days still wants to be your friend, even in your aged days. He doesn't want to stop. God never starts a thing and doesn't finish it. If he's steering your heart now, it's because he wants to steer your heart forever. So if he touched your heart last Sunday, if he's touched your heart at any time in your life, it's because he wants to have your heart steered forever. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. Quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. Someone should read it for me fast. Quickly. King James. I know that whatsoever God does, God does it forever. Continue.
Nothing can be put to it.
Nothing can be added.
Nor anything taken from
it. So when God starts a walk in your life, when he touches you in an encounter, it's because he wants to be like that for the rest of your life. If God is already speaking to you right now in your young age, it's because when you are 20, when you are 30, when you are 50, when you are 100, he wants it to be forever. He wants to be forever. So therefore, I would lay the foundation that because that's God's intention, there's a possibility for you as a child of God to have a consistent walk with him. There's a possibility in your life today that as you walk with God, it's possible to have a consistent walk with God. It's possible not to be up today and down tomorrow, on fire today and cold tomorrow. It's possible to be on fire for God every single day of your life. It's possible. It's possible for you to be consistent in your prayer life. The challenge is not to start. If I ask you one by one, some of you here today under the sound of my voice, you've had a prayer life before. You've had a walk with God before. You've had a strong study life before. You will say, my challenge, pastor, is how to keep on keeping on. See, I start in the beginning of the year. By the time we're in January 15 or January 20, I've lost all my fire. It's possible to start and continue on fire. It's possible to catch a fire from God and burn for the rest of your life. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. Quickly. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. Help me do more. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. We'll read to verse 2. The first line of verse 2. Acts 1 verse 1. Do you? Yes? The former treatise.
Theophilus.
O Theophilus.
Of all that Jesus began.
Of all that Jesus began to do what?
And teach.
So Jesus at a point in his life began. Jesus one day began to pray. Jesus one day began to study. Jesus one day began to walk with God. There was a day that Jesus began to teach. There was a day that Jesus began to pray. Jesus had a day that he began. But the good news that he began to do and to teach and to preach. Verse 2, first line.
Until the day in which he was taken up.
So Jesus began and continued until the day he saw God. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible not to be on fire today and cold tomorrow. It's possible to burn for God every day of your life. It's possible to set your heart on fire and have God seared in your heart for the rest of your life. It's possible. It's possible to contact God on the campus and burn throughout your life. In your marriage, burn and have your children burn for God too. It's possible. It's until the day. Until the day. It began and continued until the day. Let me show you scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 21. We go to verse 22. Do more, you have it. First Samuel chapter 1, 21 to 22. What does it say?
21. And the man Elkanah.
And the man Elkanah.
And all his house.
Now let me give you a background story to this. You know the story. Samuel had been born by Anna. You know that story? And Anna had said, I'm going to drop this child and give him to God. You know that story? Don't you know that story? You all know, so say, Pastor, I know the story. Someone doesn't know that story. Someone doesn't know the story of Anna. Story of Anna, very popular story. So Anna said, I'm going to give God this child when I have him. And all his house. So Elkanah went that day. Everybody went that day. But Anna didn't go with them. Continue for me.
Went up to offer unto the Lord.
They went up to offer unto the Lord incense, yes.
And his vow.
And his vows.
But Hannah went not up.
But Anna did not go. Please follow closely.
For she said unto her husband.
Anna said to her husband.
I will not go up.
I will not go up.
Until the child be weaned.
Until this child is weaned.
And then.
And then.
I will bring him.
I will bring him.
That he may appear before the Lord.
I will bring him that the day he appears before the Lord, yes.
And there abide forever.
He will abide before the Lord forever. From the first day that Samuel appears before God, from that day till he dies, he will be before God. Samuel will never leave the presence of God for the rest of his life. It's possible to appear before God one day and stay there for the rest of your life. I'm a testimony of that. I can take you there. Aisha, I can take you there. I can take you to that spot when the fire of God fell on me. I know the day, I know the time, I know the place. If I pass there, I will still feel goose pimples. I know the day. I can take you to that point in my life where God poured his fire on me. He said that Samuel will appear before God for the first day and he would abide there. Give me NLT. Do you have NLT for the verse? The second verse. The verse you just read. NLT.
But Hannah did not go.
Hannah did not go.
She told her husband.
She told her husband.
Wait until the boy is weaned.
When did the boy is weaned, yes.
Then I will take him to the tabernacle.
I will take him to the tabernacle.
And leave him there with the Lord permanently.
Somebody say permanently. Say permanently. You are not saying it loud enough. Say permanently. It's possible to be with God permanently. It's possible to live for God. Child of God, listen to me. Don't let the devil lie to you. It's possible to live for God permanently for the rest of your life. But if I catch you 12 midnight, you're on fire. 1 a.m. you're on fire. 5 a.m. you're on fire. If I catch you 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you're on fire. Every day, every minute, you are burning for God. I will leave him there. That he will leave permanently. You have Amplified. I love Amplified.
Classic.
The same verse you read. Amplified. He said, I will leave him permanently. Yes.
But Hannah did not go.
Hannah did not go.
But she said unto her husband.
She said unto her husband.
I will not go until the child is weaned.
I will not go until the child is weaned.
And then I will bring him. That he may appear before the Lord and remain there for as long as he lives.
So as long as he lives. Someone say, I'm going to stay with God for as long as I live. Say it again, say, I'm going to stay with God for as long as I live. Stretch out your hands and hold your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're going to stay with God no matter what happens in our generation, no matter the corruption in this generation, no matter how terrible things become, no matter how dark it gets, I'm going to stay with God. Bring it down. For the rest of our life, for as long as they live. Consistency is not the problem. Some of you think that consistency is your problem. Consistency is not your problem. Say, Pastor, is this consistency? Can I announce to you that consistency is nobody's problem? All of us are consistent. Everybody here is consistent. Some of you have woken up every morning and checked your phone first consistently for the past 3 years. Consistently, you have checked your phone. The first thing, before you even check whether your brain is still there, you have checked your phone. Consistently, you have done that. 3 years. Some of you have followed every season movie that came out. You followed it consistently. There is no movie that comes out in Silverback that you're not there to first watch. You are the first to watch. You have remained first to watch consistently for 3 years. First to comment. You have watched every blog that has every gossip. You have listened to every news. You are the first to know every gossip. You have consistently, you have pursued gossip. Consistency is not your problem. The challenge is what you are pursuing consistently. Is it drawing you closer to your desired destination? That's where the challenge is. All of us are consistent. Consistently.
Constantly follow after everything that is kept. Consistently. Consistently. Followed everything in skirts. Consistently. So I say consistency. Consistent. You tell the neighbor, are you consistent? Consistent. So I said last Sunday that through an encounter, God may begin his work. His encounter with you may be temporary. It may be short. But that encounter can do something permanent in your life. The encounter with God in your life may be short. Like he was going to pass through Samaria in John chapter 4. And he passed through Samaria. The Bible says that he stayed with them 3 days. But he left Samaria one day. But the life of that Samaritan woman never remained the same. An encounter, though short, may lead to an eternal impact in the heart of him who received it. Luke chapter 19 was going to pass through Jericho. The Bible says he was going to pass through Jericho. He was not living in Jericho. Jesus Christ was not living in Jericho. But Zacchaeus, one man, wouldn't allow Jesus just pass through. The Bible says he stayed in the house of Zacchaeus that night. But the next morning, Jesus had packed his bag and left Zacchaeus' house. But the heart of Zacchaeus never remained the same. A momentary touch, a momentary encounter with God may be short, but can leave us with an eternal, eternal encounter, eternal results. So you must begin to ask God, Lord, how can I make permanent a temporary encounter? How can I make this encounter that was temporary, that was not long, how can I make it permanent? How can it be a permanent experience in my life? Like I have a permanent experience. I burnt every day from the day I caught the fire. Burnt every day. And I'm not lying to you. You wake me up 3 a.m., I am burning. A sleeping lion is a lion. I caught the fire and I burnt. So how, Pastor, tell me, how do I stay on fire for God? Of course, you must know first that it's by desire. I said to you before, last 3 weeks, that the Bible says he called on the last day, John chapter 7, verse 37. Is anyone thirsty? Let him come. Is anybody thirsty? Let him come. Isaiah 55, verse 1. He said, come. Anyone that is thirsty, the call is to everyone. There is no exclusive preserve. When God makes a call, he calls to everyone. Everyone can come. Everyone that desires God can come. So you ask him, Pastor, how? I haven't come. I haven't contacted God. I haven't been touched by his power. How do I maintain a life? A life that shows that encounter for the rest of my life. How do I ensure I never go back to my days of coldness and my days of emptiness? How? How do I ensure that my experiences with God remains, I'm a fire for him, keeps burning, keeps burning, keeps burning, keeps burning for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life. Exodus chapter 19 verse 10. Exodus 19 verse 10. So we're going to read this. Do more. I need you to be very fast on this. Exodus 19. We're going to read verse 10 and verse 11. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read 18, 19, 20, and 21. Exodus chapter 19, verse 10, verse 11. Exodus chapter 19, verse 10 and verse 11. Give it to me.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people.
Go unto the people.
And sanctify them.
Sanctify them.
And tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
And let them wash their clothes.
Let them wash their clothes.
And be ready against the third day.
And be ready against the third day.
For the third day.
For the third day.
The Lord will come down.
So the Lord said he wanted to come down to meet Israel personally.
In the sight of all the people.
In the sight of everybody. All through the life of Israelites, they have only heard from God, from Moses. Now God said, I want to meet with them personally. Yes, continue.
Upon Mount Sinai.
Upon Mount Sinai, yes. That's verse 11. So go to Exodus chapter 20. 20, verse 18, 19, and 20.
And all the people saw the thunder.
Now, when God appeared on the mountain, when he appeared to see and to meet with his people, because it was his intention that there will be no intermediary between him and his people. You see, God never intended that people would be having prayer warriors. It was not God's plan that somebody would be the one in charge of the heaven. And that you will not be able to talk to your father. You have to always run to the pastor. And you always have to run to the prophet. God did not intend that in a time with his work with his people, that people would need to rush to a pastor to pray for them. He wanted to meet his people one-on-one. One-on-one. But the Bible says when everybody heard, they saw the thunderings and they saw the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood. Answer me now, church. They stood far away. Give me the next verse. What does the next verse say?
And they said unto Moses.
And they said to Moses,
speak thou with us.
You speak with us.
And we will hear.
And we are going to hear you.
But let not God speak
with let us. Let not God speak with us.
Lest we die.
Because when God speaks with us, we will die. Stop. When God speaks with us, we will die. You speak to us. Let God speak to you, and you speak to us. Continue. What does it say next?
And Moses said unto the people.
And Moses said to them,
fear not.
Don't be afraid.
For God is come to prove you.
For God has only come to prove you.
And that his fear may be before
that
your
his
faces.
Fear may be in your heart.
That ye sin you not.
So when his fear is in your heart, you will not sin. The fear of God is the cure for a sinful life. An average believer doesn't have the fear of God again. The Bible says, fear God. They say that fear in the Greek word means lokoto, means reverence, honor. It's a fear. Fear God. If you fear God, you won't sin. If you fear, are you following me this morning? If you fear God, you won't sin. The habitual lifestyle of sin is an expression of a life that doesn't fear God. Don't fear God. God says, come, come, come. He has not even come to study this. I beg. Doesn't fear God. He said, when you fear him, you won't sin. Continue, what does he say next?
And the people stood afar off.
So people stood afar off.
And Moses drew near unto the
so Moses drew near to where God was. Where was God?
Thick darkness.
The Bible says God was in thick darkness. How does God stay in thick darkness? I'll explain that in a moment. The people say, let's stay afar off, because when God speaks to us, we will die. And Calvin, it is true. When God speaks to us, we die. I died. Died. When God speaks to your temple, you die. Every time you come before God, you have an altar with God. Every time you come before God, something dies. An altar is a place of death. What do you do with an altar? Eh? What do you do with an altar? Altar is where you lay a sacrifice. So your prayer altar is what? A place of death. It's on your prayer altar that lust dies. Kabatoko beliki bolunata. It's on your prayer altar that jealousy, envy, bitterness dies. Every time you appear before God, something dies. I died. Paul said, I die daily. Every day I die. There was a particular situation that happened in my former church. One guy was sleeping with girls. Sleeping with a lot of girls. He picks them like a farmer. Point and kill. He was going to point to a particular girl that was very close to me. I said, hey, you can only point. You cannot kill this one. So I intervened. I said, you cannot sleep with this girl. No. And I began to insist that the girl must not go with him. So one day after service, it was after Ria's house. The guy was waiting for me outside church. He bundled me. Pull me by my belt. You, I'm going to beat you here today. What's your concern? I was disappointed. Because he gave his angels charge over me. But my angels were on vacation. I thought that as he touched me, the God was slacking with blindness. That boy was not blind. He guided me very strongly. Thank God for my friend Manus that came in. I did not believe it. My legs didn't touch the ground. I said, what? I looked at him. I was wealthier than him. I was more connected than him. I had more networks. That's why I went to myself. I'm going to. You know what I'm talking about now? Somebody's telling you, I'm here. I will show you prayer. I will do what? Show you prayer. When you approach me, I know I will show you. So I went home. I was fuming. I'm going to deal with this boy. Out in public. I mean, it was after rehearsals. As the choir members were out there. And you disgrace me like that. People that thought that I had anointing. They began to rethink that maybe he doesn't even have any anointing. That morning as I approached my prayer altar. Father, he said, shh. Have you spoken to that guy? I said, no, I will never speak. He said, no. You speak to him now. You will tell him you are forgiving him. I said, never. 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 I will never tell him. I will deal with that boy, oh God. I will deal with him. God says, as long as you are going to take that stand, then you take that stand. Don't talk to me. You are ready to talk to him. My heart was beating fast. I said, never, Lord, never. You see, your prayer altar is a place of death. An altar is not a place to live on. It's a place to die on. So I took my phone, and with all the reluctance in me, I sent a text, I forgive you. The boy replied and said, shut up. I'm just starting with you. I wish I took my, hey, Lord, can you read? Can you read a text? See what you have taken me through. Let me deal with this boy once and for all. The Lord was silent. He said, no. You have to forgive him. We got to church that evening. Someone had told the pastor what happened. And they called me. I was angry. You let me tell you the truth. I'm a lawyer. If I want to rope you now, I know what to say. Practice law for over 10 years. If I call my friends in Metama Police, they'll pick him up. No. They'll pick him up for attempted murder. You are not the one that will tell me that what you did to me is about to kill me. I'm the one that said this thing is about to kill me. You are not them that ordinarily touch. No, that touch, they know to touch us in our family. You touch me, you kill me. Attempted murder. The pastor sat us down. The Lord says, the Holy Ghost says, sit down. I was talking rubbish. The Holy Ghost says, be quiet. The pastor says, what do you have to say? The Holy Ghost says, nothing. Say nothing. Just tell me you forgive me. Forgive me. He was crying. He said, hug each other. You know, I was crying. I was crying because everything in me wanted to deal with that. That's death. Death to self. Death to self. You see, self needs to die. And the only cure to self is on the altar. So that's why Satan doesn't want you to have an altar. Because you can't die in church. You didn't hear that? You can't die in church. The Bible says that Moses went into the thick darkness where God was. God sits in darkness. It talks about the secrecy of the presence of God. It takes going into darkness to walk with God. You can't die in church. You only die alone. What says I die? That day, I was crying. My tears flowing. I said, what's the problem? I wanted to deal with it. How many of you know that there are things you can do? You can hold your own. If God gives you a chance, you know what to do. It's not like you don't know. You know what to do. But God says, stop. God says, stop. God says, stop. So Israel says, God, don't speak to us. If you don't speak to us, we'll leave. Let Moses speak to us. That was the beginning of prayer contractus. Pastor, please speak to God for me. For lend money. Speak to God for me. For lend money. It was never God's plan. Every man must have an altar. If a man does not have an altar, where will God deal with him? Let me show you. If a man does not have an altar, where will God make him? Where will God make a man if he doesn't have an altar? Because God does not make people in public. Let me show you a scripture. Psalms 139 verse 15. Psalms 139 verse 15. I have to round up because of my time. Psalms 139 verse 15. Where we go? What does it say? My substance was not hid from you. When I was made where?
Secret.
Where was I made?
In secret.
Answer me, guys. Where was I made?
In secret.
So God doesn't make people in church. God doesn't make people in public. If I don't have a personal walk with him, a personal, peculiar walk with him, I can never be made. Let me tell you the truth. Some of you, it is far easier, even if you're living in Suleja this morning. It is far easier for you to get off your bed in Suleja, go into your bathroom, take your bath, wear your perfume, wear your clothes, and drive down to Central Area than to get off your bed and go on your knees beside your bed. Far easier. Because that's where the power is. You see, a man with a consistent walk with God will not sin. Will not sin. Just don't let him talk. Lest we die. Lest we die. So the first thing is that altar. God wants you to build an altar, a personal altar. He wants you to build an altar around his encounter with you. I'm going to rush this now, so follow me very closely. Please don't let any distraction. Build an altar around your encounters. Build an altar around your encounters. You had an encounter last week. It may be small, but build an altar. What does it mean to build an altar? All our fathers of faith were altar builders. Abraham built an altar. Bible says God appeared to him, Genesis chapter 12, and he built an altar there. Jacob was an altar builder. He had a dream. He woke up. God had spoken to him in his dream. He built an altar there. Joshua was an altar builder. They were crossing Jordan. They built altars. They were men of altars. Sometimes we have to understand how our fathers did what they did because of how powerful it is. What kind of altar does God want me to build? Number one, he wants me to build an altar of remembrance. An altar of remembrance. Oh, I wish I could explain this. An altar of remembrance. People that remember are always on fire. An altar of remembrance. If you look at the fathers of faith, Abraham, sometimes when God does something for them, do you know that they even name cities? Do you know that? And the Bible says, and he named the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah. They can even plant an oak tree. They can plant a tree. They can build an altar. Why are they doing that? In a time of their life, when they pass through that journey again, they would see it and they would remember that if God came through for me before, he can come through for me again. He can do that again and again. So they build altars. They don't forget. They don't forget. No matter how small it is, they build an altar. They build an altar. They build an altar. The reason why I have so many stories of my encounters with God is that I build an altar around it. You know, I can tell you story and story. You know, I never run out of stories. Why don't I run out of stories? Because there's nothing that God does to me that I don't document. Because a time will come in my life that I'll be living in doubt of his reality in my life. But those stories are ever fresh. I shared one with you last Sunday. Abi, out that everywhere was dark, I was praying for a concert. Share that with you. I have several stories like that. Ever stories like that. Why do I need those stories? My journey with God must have track. You must be able to trace my journey with God like this. You can draft a circle and say from 1995 to 2002. I can draft. Some people don't have a journey with God. Everything is disconnected. So there's nowhere for God to start with them. Every time he wants to come to them, he has to go and start from the beginning. Because what he did last, they have forgotten it. Am I making sense this morning? So when I look at my life, I remember, God, you have done this. You have done this. I remember how you showed up for me in Redeem Camp. I remember. I don't forget. I don't forget. I don't forget. It's always in my mind. People that write down, and that's why I almost brought my Bibles this morning. I've only had 4 Bibles in my life, basically. My fourth one. Fourth Bible. This Bible is a new Bible. They just bought it for me like last 2 months. I've had 3 Bibles before this. Those my 3 Bibles are worn out and torn. Torn. I read them till they tore. There was a particular Bible I read when I was on campus. When I want to preach. And I open to Genesis. The breeze will blow the pages over the church. I say, help me, help me, help me, help me. And I loved it. I love the tattered looks of my Bible. Some people's Bible are so clean. Never used it. Never read it. I wanted to bring my Bibles here. There was a particular time in my life that I felt so terrible. I think I shared it here before. That I went to sleep in a girl's house. Have I shared it before? In those days, I knelt down one day. And I was praying. And I was praying. And I was at the lowest ebb of my life. And I slept off on my Bible. And in sleeping off, because of my tears, the pages got wet. And it tore. When I woke up, I saw the pages were torn. I left it. I didn't touch it. If I opened that Bible today and I get to that page, I will remember how I was at the lowest ebb of my life. And I thought that God would never do anything with me again. And I saw how the page tore, like God removed the hip bone of Jacob. I will never forget. It's an encounter that leaves you permanently dented. Don't forget. An altar of remembrance. The reason why we have a Bible today is that human beings were diligent enough to put down and document their encounters with God. But otherwise, we won't have a Bible to read this morning. What has God done with you? What has He done with your life? Where has He brought you from? What has He delivered you from? Do you have a testimony? Do you have a story with God? Do you have a story with God? And that is why I have to have an altar of remembrance, that it's a place where God can always bring me back to. A place of reference. A place of reference. If you look at Genesis chapter 26, I'll just paraphrase because of our time. 28. Kevin, Jacob had dreamt. Follow me. He had dreamt and woke up from the dream. The Bible says he said, I didn't know that God was here. Because the name of that place was Luz. L-U-Z was the name of the place before. He said, and he called that place what? Who knows that scripture? And he, what did he call the name of the place? I owe you $10. $10. $10. You guys can save for $5. I owe you $10. The name of the place was Luz. And he called it what? Bethel. That place was not called Bethel. It was Jacob that called that place Bethel because of his encounter with God. Now, Jacob left that place and went straight to Laban's house and began to waste his life. Began to marry many, many wives and to sleep with their house girls. Jacob! I've told this story. You know, Jacob is one of my favorite characters. I would say, Jacob! Went to the room of his house girl of his wife, and sneaked in. House girl. Patriarch, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob sleeping with two sisters and their house girls. The same house. Bad guy. 20 years. Jacob had spent 20 years in Laban's house. The same house where his own mother was taken for one night. They had gone to pick Rebecca from that house in one night. Jacob went there and spent 20 years of his life and wasted it. When God saw that his life was about to waste, it appeared to him and said, Jacob, I am the God of Bethel. Why did God introduce himself as the God of Bethel? God had never introduced himself to anybody before. The God of Bethel. He's the God of all the earth. But you see, Bethel was a place in the heart of Jacob he could always relate with. He says, I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Bethel. I'm the God of your journey. We've had something together, Jacob. We've had something before. This is not how you should live your life. We have an history, Jacob. You have an history with God. But Jacob would be like, Kai! I should not be living my life like this. He got out of the house of Laban. He says, get thee back to Bethel. If you have an altar of remembrance, you would always have something to get back to. No matter how far you stray, there will always be something to get back to. Child of God, you have an altar of what God has done for you in the past. I have. I can always get back. The same thing with Abraham. Abraham had to build an altar and went straight to Egypt. And when he went to Egypt, he began to tell lies. Out of faith. Mortgaged his wife. His wife that he loved. You are my sister. I love my life. But I gave his wife to the king. Peter. When God saw how Abraham was, he said, no, Abraham, this is not it. But says Abraham went up out of Egypt and went back to the place where he had built an altar. When he was in Egypt, there was no history that he built an altar. If you don't build an altar in Egypt, you can always remember. When last did I see Jesus? If you are feeling dry this morning, you are feeling empty, you are feeling lonely, let me tell you, it was not Jesus that left you alone. You were the one that left Jesus. Jesus never moves. He said, I never leave you. If there was any forsaking, trust me, it was not Jesus that forsook. Jesus never left. He never leaves. He's right where you left him. Mary and Joseph left him in Jerusalem. You know it's possible to leave Jesus alone? You don't know? It's possible. 12-year-old Jesus. Hail Mary, Mother of God. I'm a better mother. 3 days you can't find your daughter, find your son. And you were going. What kind of mother is that? I'm sorry. Hail Mary. But I'm sorry, Mary. That was very poor. 3 days. I mean, I'm not even a mother, I'm a father. If I don't see my Tony for 5 minutes, ask my wife, I'm always like, where is Tony? Because when children are quiet, things are going down. It's better you're hearing their voice. When we are hearing their noise, it's better. The moment they are silent, the real thing is happening. If I don't see my girl, I'm asking. One day I saw her with a cockroach in her hand. I'm going to take it straight into her mouth. They're like that. They crawl, pick things and put it straight in their mouth. That's like, children like that. You have to keep your eyes on them. So I don't know how Mary did it. That for 3 days, they didn't see Jesus. But they began to look for him because it's possible to assume that Jesus is with you when he's not with you. I said they assumed that it was with them, but it was not. But where did they find him? They found him where they left. If I'm feeling dry today, I'm feeling empty, I feel as if I'm dry of God's presence, what do I do? I will go back. When last did I see Jesus? What was I doing when I saw Jesus last? What kind of songs were I singing? What kind of prayer was I praying? If I go back to where I saw Jesus last, I will see him right there waiting for me because he never left. What kind of prayer were you praying in those days? Who were you with? Who were you flowing with in those days that you always had Jesus, but now you feel so empty? Go back to the days. Go back to the things. Go back to the songs. Go back to the practices. When you go back, you'll find out that Jesus never left. Jesus never left. An altar of remembrance. My wife has a book like that where she wrote things that God told her. She wrote on it, do not open. Secrets between me and God. You know this kind of books? If I come to this church with my journal, I have journal way back in my campus days. Some of them are dirty. Some of them are melted because of heat. I have journals. If I saw some people I used to write, what is some people I used to write in church? You know that they don't have any intention to remember that. They don't have, if you see what they are writing, the kind of jotter they are writing, you know that this person doesn't want to remember this thing in the next 30 years. He just wants to look as if he's writing something. I know. People that don't write will forget. If you don't write, you forget. God writes. That's when we get to heaven, we'll find books and books in heaven where God writes. When you get to heaven, you find books. If you are not writing, you forget. People that say they did not forget is a lie. They forgot that they forgot. They have forgotten that they forgot. Don't remember. If you write something down now, come and check it next 2 years. You'll be shocked. I have an altar of remembrance. Two, I have an altar of responsibility. When I start a fire, bam, with a match. You know, some of you are internet children. You didn't use lantern. You didn't use candle. How many of you use candle? Did you use candle? You know, when you strike a match, that fire you struck with that match cannot last. Are you following my point? What do you have to do quickly? You have to quickly ignite something with it. Are you following my point this morning? Are you following me this morning? So when God strikes a fire in your heart, you have to quickly use that fire to attach something. Because if you don't do that, it's like a spark. It doesn't last. Every big fire started from a spark. But not every spark ended up a big fire. Why? The people in whose hands God committed the spark were not diligent enough to fan it into a flame. Are you following my point? So now when God starts the fire in your heart, like it started on Sunday, you quickly look for something to burn it with. That's what I did. Quickly for something, you attach that fire to something, you connect it to something that is burning. It is what a fire is burning is what keeps it burning. Fire needs to keep burning to stay burning. It has to be consuming something. Are you following my point? You have to consume it. They call it you guys in physics, combustible. Abi, who are the physics students here? Combustion. Conversion. What is the name of an item that can be set on fire? Combustible. I mean, the combustible that on fire. So, what are the things that God wants you to put in your fire? Number one, I'm running up, is His Word. Every day, His Word. Every day, His Word. That's the wood. Once where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And the fire can burn forever. If you start the fire now and you keep putting wood, that fire can burn for 200 years. Before there's something to burn. Don't tell pastor my fire went out. You were the one that stopped putting the wood. You keep putting the wood. The fire will keep burning. Your fire for God will never stop burning if you keep supplying wood into it. Number two is prayer. These two things that I mentioned, they have no feelings. It's not about your feelings or how you feel, whether you feel like praying or not. Have you prayed when you feel like praying? And pray when you didn't feel like praying. We pray, makatala brada baba. I don't feel like praying. How many of all of you, how many of you always feel like praying? Let me see hands. Like, I know people that are lying here. Always feel like praying. Let me see hands. Don't worry. I'm not seeing again. Let's see hands. No, nobody. Always feel like praying. Most times you don't feel like praying, but you make yourself pray. It's something that you must do. It says that the Levite, the priest, must always put the wood in the fire. So I put prayer in the fire, I put wood in the fire. And the final one, because of my time, is the right company. Right company. I put right company in the fire. Right association. Friends in the fire. Ah! I can talk about friends forever. I stayed on fire because of the kind of friends I have. I still have the same kinds of friends I kept 15 years ago. I never changed my type of friends. Some of you never knew porn until you met someone. Some of you never knew crack. The crack you are battling with now, you never even knew anything about crack until you met someone. Somebody introduced you to Olosho. Somebody did that. Somebody introduced you to it. Somebody told you that it's possible to carry a girl on the street and sleep with her for 5K. Why are you stressing yourself? Ghosting that girl. Someone told you that. There is nothing Satan wants to do in a man's life that doesn't do through an introduction of a man. Brings in a man first. Right association. Right association. Ha! I am so grateful to God for the gift of godly relationships. I burned and stayed on fire for God because of the kind of relationships I had. If you want to burn for God, you have to abandon some friends. I met my wife a virgin because of the kind of friends I have. I don't have friends that go about sleeping around. I don't have them. They're not around me. Nobody to teach us. One of my friends, when we were on campus, I dipped my hand into his pocket and brought out a condom. We're still on the level. I said, I mentioned his name. I don't want to mention his name. Somebody might hear this someone. That's my friend. I said, this condom. This condom in your pocket. I was surprised. I said, do you know I don't have a personal condom? I said, do you know that I don't have a condom? This condom is my condom? As old as I am, I don't have a condom of my own? He said, it's one girl that put. I said, what are you discussing with the girl? That she's able to drop a condom in your pocket. I don't have to get friends. My best man, the person that is my best man when I got married, we lived together for 5 years on campus. He married his wife as a virgin. 2 weeks after marriage, they still have not had sex. They don't know how to do it. In this generation, they don't know how to do it. So people are already pro. They can open online school on how to do this. My goal. Register online. Masterclass. How to do it. How to go there, go down, reach there, reach everywhere. And make a... My wife had to visit them one day and say, yes, you guys have to stop this. You must do it. My friend said, I don't know how to do it. How do we do it? How do we tell ourselves? But what do we do next? All my friends are like that. No wonder till now. I still have not had any sexual relationship with any woman apart from my wife. Why? I don't have people around me that are teaching me bad things. I don't have them. It's easy to catch fire than to start one. So if I don't have a fire, but I have a friend on fire, I will catch that fire. If you lack fire in your life, what you need is someone who's burning. A burning bush would ignite another bush faster than that bush likes to ignite itself. Learn that. Our friends. It's sad today, Pastor Johnson. It's very sad that even when you leave your friends out in the world and you come back to the church thinking that you meet people in church, you meet people that are worse in the church than the world. It's terrible. Terrible. That what you left outside in the world and you think you have escaped the world, you come to the church and you meet it there at an advanced level. Terrible. The third thing you must put in your wood, in your fire, is right company. Today, resolve. Everything you say you're going to do for God, all you need to scatter everything is one person in your life that thinks it's a lie. They are just wasting your time. They have brainwashed you. But yes, I've been brainwashed by the washing of water by the world. Brainwashed. My mind is renewed. Yes, I've been brainwashed. but it's by the washing of water. What you need is someone who's on fire for God. King Kelvin was like that. Me and Kelvin those days, remember those days, Kelvin? We pray in tongues all night. Mako soprate lekete, eko brata. We prayed all night. Ileke teke teke bleke. You are tired, they wake you. Maka chaka. We didn't even know. Thank God we prayed those days. We are praying those things that we see. The things that we are enjoying now is because we prayed yesterday. If you don't pray today, you will suffer tomorrow. You must pray today to sustain the grace of God. We had friends like that. We call ourselves friends of fire. Destiny friends. We never taught ourselves buttons. I never taught him how to sleep with a girl. He never taught me how to steal money. All we knew was the Bible. Two things: you must increase your walk with God. That's the foundation for everything. You are going to tell God and say, Lord, this year, I want to walk with you more closely. I want to walk with you more closely. I want you to pray this prayer with all your heart. I want to walk with you at a closer level. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Please pray. Please pray. I want to know you more. More and more also has to do with my knowledge of God. I want to know you more. Please pray. Is someone praying this morning? Holy Spirit, lead me this year. Walk with me. I don't want to walk alone. I don't want to walk alone. Help my prayer life. Help my study life. My voice
is over there. Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SLChurchNG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.